Hey guys, before we dive into this episode of Let's Talk About It, What Happens at Home, we will listen to a poem authored by Tumi. Tumi is a poet that shares her expressive artwork on Instagram. If you're interested in hearing more from Tumi, check out her Insta at tumi.writes. That's tumi.writes. Now, please enjoy Tumi's poem, Guest.
Guest. I am born a sin, one only to wed, to breathe as told, to feel as led, a hole to be plugged with life or bread, a prisoner of men until I am dead. With eyes of want, I long for gain, howling from within to end my pain, for to be kind here is to worship at feet, to them that call us for what to eat. Resentment and shame are oldest companions, as we bleed in faults and breed of passions. Adrift for years in search of rest. Here lies woman, an unwelcome guest.
Hey, it's your girl May J, and I am here with the lovely Christine Ayabe.
Hey, hey!
And you are listening to the Let's Talk About It segment, What Happens at Home. Today's topic is going to be a little interesting. We're going to talk about how women fuck up relationships. So ladies, check your attitudes at the door. We have no time for it. This is a time for us to do some self-reflecting, realizing the toxicity that lies within all of us, and do some fixing so that we can make sure our home is peaceful.
Yeah. 100% agree with Ashley. I believe that everybody has a lot of toxicity within them and that we slowly grow as we age. And it's a continual journey. And it involves not only romantic relationships, it also involves like the relationships we have with ourselves and the relationships we have with others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Something that my mom or my sister, I call her my second mom, whatever, but she would always say to me is that we were created from dirt.
Yep.
It's not always pretty. And sometimes you have to wash that shit off. You know, no one is created perfect. The problem comes in when you are older and you know better and you don't do better and you make excuses for your toxic behavior because you feel that you should be treated a certain way. And that's where we're going to dive into. We're going to talk about, I think I want to call the first half of this podcast, Sis, It's Really You.
That's awesome.
Thank you. I've thought about this a while. So, Christine, you read the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite, I cannot talk today. One of my favorite Bible scriptures says that it is better to live on a roof than with a quarrelsome woman.
Wow. Which, is it Old Testament or New Testament?
That is the New Testament.
What's the context for that one?
I believe, actually, instead of guessing on it, I'm just going to find the scripture so that we can go through it together. But I can tell you while I do that, why it's my favorite scripture.
Awesome.
It's my favorite scripture because Old Testament is Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
It is better to live in the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome woman. Proverbs 24:25. So it's talking about the Proverbs 24 chapter talks about provoking. That's the same chapter of Proverbs that talks about how children are supposed to respect their parents, but parents are not to provoke their children. So it kind of gives the rules of what I like to call relationships and communication, which is why I love the Bible, even though so many people hate the Bible. I love the Bible because there's some good stuff in there. Like if you really read and read with open eyes and understand and have a relationship with God and be open to the fact that a lot of this stuff was written a really long time ago, it doesn't reflect our current circumstances as of now 100%. Mm-hmm. But what I love about that scripture is just the fact that it shows that women can be the problem too.
Yeah.
And I feel that as women, we know we're the problem a lot of times, but we just don't admit to it.
Amen.
It's become a habit for us. And even our friends will do it too, where they know that we're the issue, but they'll point out everything wrong that our partner or that our friend would do, because it's easier to say you're the wrong one here than it is to say I have a problem.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, people like blaming other people. And one of the reasons could be why is they are just not comfortable with seeing that like dirtiness and that toxicity and that ugliness within themselves. Like it makes them feel guilty, it makes them feel ashamed, and so they just don't want to look at it. And so they turn outwards and then start criticizing other people.
Yes. I think that in our minds, we all want to believe we're perfect, mm-hmm. you know, because who doesn't want to be perfect? Unless you're mature and you understand that even imperfection, there's no such thing as perfection. Mm-hmm. Even trees, which have nothing to do with their own creation, are not perfect. And they are some of the beautiful things that we have on this earth. And they provide something that we all need, which is oxygen. We want to be perfect. We want to be the ones who can say that, you know, honestly, we do everything right, because that would be the ideal thing, right? Perfection and being able to love properly and care. But the maturity that I feel women say men lack is a maturity that we lack as well. It doesn't come with gender. It doesn't come with age. It comes with experience.
Yeah.
And it's easier always to blame your partner or your friends or whatever to say that, oh, they're not mature, when in reality, a lot of us aren't mature.
Mm-hmm.
It takes life experiences to mature us.
Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely comes from a place of entitlement. And it also comes from a place of immaturity, where it's kind of like, oh, my partner is not mature. And so I guess I don't have to, you know, work towards that maturity. You know, we can just stay at this place.
Exactly. Contentment.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want us to kind of delve into sis, it's really you. Let's talk about some things within relationships, not just romantic relationships, but all relationships, in which women in general can cause the problem.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I think I'll take the first one. Women, when it comes to relationships that are romantic, believing that it is our partner's duty to take care of us. I feel that that is something that is taught to a lot of girls. You know, growing up, there is that fairy tale idea, I'm going to marry a man and he's going to take care of me and work and we're going to have this house. And it creates this unrealistic expectation of life, because your soulmate may not be the one who is supposed to take care of you in all those ways. And something that women, especially mothers, never talk about. Like my grandmother, I think we talked about this before. She came here from Memphis when she was 14. She was pregnant. She was married to a man that was way too old for her. Her idea of taking care of her husband was having sex with him and keeping up with the house. That was the time that they were in. You know, we don't talk about taking care of them emotionally. Making them feel comfortable, being a safe space for them to talk to, talking to your partner instead of at your partner,
Oh, yeah.
not attacking them because they don't say the things you feel they should say when you want them to say it. Not giving them room to make mistakes, although we make mistakes. Like, for instance, women who call their significant others bitches. And as soon as he calls her a bitch, oh my God, the world's about to blow. I think I said this in my preview on Instagram. We fight for equality, but we don't understand what it means to be equal.
Yes.
Equality does not mean he holds the door for you all the time. He pays the bills for you all the time. He makes sure that you eat all the time, and then he comes home to a messy ass house. You know, you have to, when someone is pouring into you all that they have, it is your job to replenish them so that he doesn't go weak. So the first thing I think that we should kind of delve into is the idea that men are, or partners, whomever the partner may be, should take care of us because we're the princesses and we're the queens.
It's terrible. And I want to bring up that when, we are brought up that way and that idea is like sort of like indoctrinated into us and we internalize that. And we have this fairy tale idea in our head. And so we think that this kind of supports the whole thing where it's like, oh, something's missing in me and people are always in relationships are always talking like, oh, he's my other half, like he completes me. And I always get like super frustrated because I'm just like, no, like it's not like two halves make a whole. It's like two whole people are coming together and making this awesome thing. And I always tell people like, like the shape of like the heart, it's actually like two anatomical hearts that get put together. So that kind of shows you, like, dude, you have two whole things that are coming together. And so I guess the reason that I'm saying this is when you look at yourself as if you're missing something and you try to find something to fulfill that, as a woman, and if that's a thing where it's like, oh, someone's going to take care of me and someone's going to save me type of thing, then you're one, not working on yourself. You're just kind of being stagnant. Two, you're expecting something from this man that you're looking for, which is, this ideal person. And so it's like when you get into relationships, they get messy because it's like that's not gonna happen because nobody's perfect. And then it's like I had another point. It was really good and now I'm having a brain fart. Shoot. I think it goes around along the line of what you said earlier, with kind of like the roles of the man and the woman in the house. So the woman like cooks and cleans, and the dude like makes the money. He's a breadwinner and he also does the stuff in the yard. And that just sets like the tone for relationships. And I've just seen that modeled in different cultures and in different like mothers and fathers that I've been into contact with. And so it's just like they almost get separated into their own worlds. And that's very detrimental, if they have children. And it kind of just separates them, So I guess like that kind of starts becoming, that lays the groundwork for when women start becoming like entitled, because if they expect something from the man that they're going to be in a relationship with, then they think that they're entitled for him to like do all these things for her. But in reality, like, if there's no reciprocal like exchange, then that relationship is not really healthy, and it kind of becomes like a dependent relationship.
I think it's funny that you say that. So one thing I wanted to comment on that you said was that the two halves don't make a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, two wholes make a home.
Ooh.
It's like when you come to a well, like let's say that you're in the relationship, you are yourself, but you present yourself as a bucket and you have things that you are in need of. So you present yourself as a bucket, but the things that you need are holes in your bucket. And you are thinking that your mate, whom is the water that you need to drink, who is the water that fulfills you, are supposed to fill the buckets, when in reality, all they're doing is giving you water. If you don't fill your own holes, the water pours through your bucket.
Mm.
You don't present yourself as broken to someone and expect them to fix you.
You fix
yourself, and then you present your whole self to that individual, and you guys come together and you show him how to love you and he shows you how to love him.
Yeah, when it's like you expect someone to fix you, and you know, I've seen this in a lot of different relationships, or if that person also like wants to fix you, that is an extremely dangerous like codependent relationship, because that person cannot fix you. Like, I'm gonna just be real. Like, it can't happen. And so it's your responsibility to work on yourself. And, you know, that's your responsibility, to work on yourself, to hold your own emotions. And it's the other person's responsibility to work on themselves and hold their emotions. And of course, like, you can hold space for them, but at the end of the day, like, you're supposed to like deal with these things as, you know, the things that they ultimately like belong to you. And so in relationships, like, you can support that person and they can support you. And this can even be a thing with like friendships, you know? Because if you think about it, it's like you're traveling your own road in terms of like your life journey, and no one else can do that for you, but other people can come along beside you, like traveling on like a parallel road. So they're traveling their own road too, because no one else can do that for them, but they're supporting you by being there.
Exactly. You don't need someone to lift you up. Sometimes you just need a person to be there with you when you lift yourself.
Yeah.
There's something I wanted to comment on. I don't want to make it sound like there's something wrong with being a stay-at-home wife, because it's not.
Yes.
However, understanding your role, it's being a wife in general is more than just cooking and cleaning and staying with the kids and mm-hmm. expecting him to work long hours to bring home money to pay the bills. There's more to being a wife than that, or a girlfriend than that. Relationships come with understanding that you both are bringing your own demons into something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people get into a relationship, I've told people this all the time. I married my husband. We dated for 2 years before we got married. I married him and felt like I married someone I had never met before. Because you never fully know a person.
Yeah.
So the first 2 years of our marriage was absolute hell, because I was toxic as shit. I had things that I was dealing with within myself that I did not want to admit that I was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we women do a thing, and I don't want to generalize, we people do a thing where when we're going through something, we don't like to say we're going through something, so we displace emotions.
Yes.
And that's another thing, ladies, we have got to stop blaming them for things that they have not done. You cannot measure one man by another man's ruler. It's not fair. It's just not. Mm-hmm. the things that you went through prior to him, you should have healed from. If you were not ready to date, you should not have dated anyone else. Running from one relationship to another is not going to fulfill you. In reality, what you do by being an asshole and taking the issues that you dealt with in your last relationship is potentially break and harm a person because you have not healed from whatever happened in your past relationship. You cannot make him pay from someone else's mistakes. So you have got to stop doing that. So many good people have been hurt.
Like, if you're using your next relationship as a band-aid to, like, those deep wounds that you have from your last relationship, let me tell you, like, that ain't gonna work. Like, a single band-aid that you're slapping on that, because that's what's gonna, it's basically what it is at the start, it's just not gonna happen. And that's not fair to him. Nope. Or whoever your partner is going to be. And that's not fair to yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's the unrealistic expectation that someone else can make you feel better, that mm-hmm. another relationship is going to heal. It doesn't work that way. I think it's funny. And you know, if you're that person, if you say this in relationships, I only react that way because the last guy I was with, I only argue about this because he treated me this way. That doesn't matter. You're in a whole new relationship now. What he did before should not impact how you react towards someone else. That's why healing between relationships is very important. You should not take your past trauma and displace it on someone else because you feel like you can't be whole unless you're with someone. That's not fair.
Yeah. You can't use somebody to like dump all of the feelings and the trauma that you don't want to hold anymore and give it to them. Because like I said earlier, it's your responsibility to hold your emotions, to hold everything that you've been through and to work through them.
Absolutely. Well, I've given two. Do you have a point you'd like to put out?
I can't remember the other one. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. We're taking this slow. I'm enjoying this. It's so good. It feels good to, not rail, I won't say that, but just to talk about the things that I personally learned in my life. Mm-hmm. As I look back on my relationships and I've like found things that I've done that I'm just like, oh, that shit was terrible.
Yeah. Know?
Can we talk about sex?
Sure.
Let's talk. I don't know. We both share something in common. The fact that we both identify as demisexuals, you know, that's something we share. Something I've never understood is how when a person breaks up with someone, a lot of women and a lot of men do this, they go and have a bunch of random sex.
That's super healthy.
And super safe. I've never been one to understand it. I have been really weird about having multiple sexual partners because I don't know if I ever told you, I'm afraid of getting mono, like out of all the STDs. My fear is mono. But I always thought it was something to, there are people who are comfortable with their sexuality, who feel it's okay. And I'm not shaming you. That is fine. Mm-hmm. But I am one who believes that every time you have sex with someone, you give them a piece of yourself. Mm. Because sex, though people like to say, you know, it's casual, it's fun, it's very intimate. You are sharing a piece of yourself with someone that you don't readily give everyone. Or maybe you do. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I feel that one thing that women do that's very toxic and it's very harmful is that when they hear about men having a lot of frivolous sex, it's disgusting. But we don't realize that we do the shit too. Like, we have one night stands. Well, we don't have one night stands, but women have one night stands. things that they don't talk about. Having when women hear about men who have sex, whether it's protected or not, I have known a lot of women who were in relationships who found out that prior to them, their mate, was kind of out there and was hurt by it.
Yeah.
Your face says how I feel. She had like this what face.
I don't believe in judging someone or even viewing someone by the things that they've done in their past. Like, yeah, I struggle with that. I'm not gonna say that it's easy, but they're a different person now. Like, maybe I just want to say, like, every day you grow a little bit. You are a slightly different person than the day before.
I saw this meme on Facebook and it made me giggle because it was so true. It's like when you get out of your car one day and then the next day you get back in and your music starts blaring and you turn it down and you're like, whoa, boy, I'm not the same person I was last night.
Yo, I totally relate to that though.
Whole, not in the same mood. People are forever changing. I've learned that about myself, that whole stigma that people don't change. It's not true. I've seen growth within myself within a week. I look back at myself when I first got married and I'm like, God, who was that demon? Who was that person who didn't know herself? One thing that I've had to learn in my relationship is that single you and relationship you, two different people.
Oh, yeah.
And what we women don't really pay attention to or notice is that, I'm sorry, I am so hot. It
You're
gets hot
good.
on the neck. We don't really pay attention to is the fact that we want people to love us for us, right? We want you to look on the inside and not on the outside. However, when we find out about the things they did on the outside, we're like, ugh, fuck your insides. We need to stop being so judgmental. Women can be very judgmental.
Again, it's like that sort of knight in shining armor type of thing. It's like you expect the other person to be that sort of hero figure, to be your rock almost.
Yes.
And it's like, yo, they're not here to be perfect and to fix you. Like, that's not how it works.
Why would you want someone to fix you? I
Yeah.
think in my mind, that would say he's fixing me to be the person that he wants me to be, not the
Yes.
person that I am. I just think that is toxicity within itself. It's like and it's unrealistic pressure. Can you imagine the pressure that gives to a person? Here, I'm broken, fix it.
Yeah.
Here, this is our home, take care of it. Here, I'm your princess, I'm your queen, love me. And at some point we're going to talk about cheating. Because I have a very weird process, mind process on cheating. We'll get there. Something about relationships and not just romantic relationships. I think this also goes into relationships with just people, and we talked about being judgmental. I want to talk about expectations more. I feel that we women expect people to move on our time.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of girls in relationships who, I have this saying, it's just me. But I feel like you shouldn't do wifely duties when you're in a girlfriend's role. That's one. And I've told that to a couple of my friends who will go over their boyfriend's house, cook, clean, XYZ, do all this stuff. Your face is how I felt. And I'm just, and then they were upset because he didn't reciprocate that.
Right.
I'm just like, first of all, you're on a different plane than he's thinking. You guys are in a relationship. And some relationships function that way, where they never get married. They just, they act that way towards each other, which is fine. Whatever suits your boat. But you have to understand that everyone moves at a different pace, right? Everyone matures differently. So you feel like you're doing all this stuff to expand your life, and he's stagnant because he's not ready, because he doesn't really know what he wants to do. And you're ready to jump ship because you're not moving fast enough. Is
And
that?
there's all, oh, sorry.
Now what?
And there's also that thing where it's like he's like sitting there watching you do these things, and that might be terrifying for him because he's watching you move this fast and he just doesn't know what to do with it.
Communication.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's something that we miss is we don't talk to each other about what we want in relationships.
Yes. Oh.
And I think, once again, one of our toxic traits is that we don't ask, we assume.
Yes. That is the root of all expectations. And even outside of relationships, that can be so dangerous if you just walk around and assume things about people. That can get you in so much trouble. And you could say one wrong thing and one of your friends could just shut down, and it's just so dangerous. So you should always like walk in, assume nothing, and always be curious. Ask questions, keep the conversation open.
Yes, be comfortable with having that conversation and don't be so easily offended. That is
Yes.
another thing we struggle with. Guys will say something to us, and, oh, you don't like that I do this? And then it just starts a whole argument. And that's how we get the stigma of being difficult. I have to walk on eggshells. I can't say what I want around her. When you close those lines of communication, you never really understand your partner.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to put on those big girl panties and that thick skin and just have those conversations.
And this is something that I have worked with previous therapists and counselors, and even like in like school, where growing up as a kid, where it was just like, hey, like when you get into arguments with people, it would, instead of like saying to the other person, like, you did this and you made me feel this. You should say, when I heard you say this, or when you did this, I interpreted it this way, or I felt this way, and this is why. And then you ask them, did you mean it this way? Or tell me how your thought process was. So you're keeping those lines of communication open. And you're helping your partner understand what you were thinking, how you felt, and you're helping yourself understand what your partner was thinking at that time.
I think that we're moving into what I would like to call the second part of this podcast that I would like to title, You Are Your Own Individual.
Nice.
And I say that because you really dinged me when you said you made me feel. When I was growing up, my mom would always tell me, no one can make you feel anything. You control your emotions. You control how you felt. So when they said that, you felt that way for a reason. And I used to hate when she said that to me. 'Cause she You make me feel a lot of ways. But it wasn't until I got older and I started to learn how to control my emotions that I could tell people would say things to me with the intent of hurting me. And I was just like, eh, so you got, like, eh, try again. I think something that I've learned about women, especially with women that I've encountered, and when it comes to being in relationships, not even just romantic, but even in friendships, we lose our identity to people. You ever see those people who get married and then they change their Facebook to say his wife, her mommy?
Yo.
That annoys me. Who are you besides a wife and a mom? Or when they answer the phone, I used to do like cold calls for a job, and I've so many women would answer the phone. This is Mr. and Mrs. blah blah blah. Like, no, it's just you on the phone. There's no man on the phone. It's just you. Like, or friends who become friends with someone, and then everything that friend does, they want to do. Oh, you're doing that? I can do that too. Oh, you like that? I like that too. It's like, okay, chill. The reason why people like you is because you are an individual. Now, granted, there are some men who like that shit, who like women who just give up their lives for them. That's very toxic. And that is very, it's almost like slavery to me. It's like I give up everything that I love to follow you. You're not God. What are you talking about? And God never asked you to give up everything that you love. So it's, I think that's a big thing that we need to learn how to do is to stop giving in and becoming one whole person with whomever we're with and walk into the situation as individuals and remain an individual.
And you know, that kind of goes back to the whole like two hearts type of thing and two wholes like coming together and making a home. I love that the way that you said that. That's awesome. And I hate that like people just when they have relationships, whether it be, you know, a romantic or just friendships and stuff. They just chop pieces off of themselves, or like, you know, and then, oh, they chop pieces off of themselves and then like take other pieces or like clone other pieces of other people and then slap it onto themselves. And it's just so sad to see that because, you know, as an like outside observer, sometimes like you can just see it happening, and it's just so sad to see.
It's like they become a chameleon
Ooh, yeah.
because they feel like the best way, and I've seen this in women in relationships so often, it's like he likes basketball, all of a sudden the bitch loves basketball. Like she knew nothing about basketball before, and now she is an expert. And it's one thing to show interest in his interest. That's one thing. It's another thing to replicate his identity. If he wanted to date one of his homeboys, he would be with his homeboy. Like, literally, like he chose you not because you knew everything about basketball, not because you knew everything about football. He probably chose you because you were different from what he was always around, like a fresher breath air. So it's like there's this list of things that I feel like we need to work on ourselves, like being difficult, not communicating, talking to your partner instead of at your partner, being a chameleon, like you said, being broken and expecting someone to fix us, that whole princess mentality, expecting people to move on our time instead of their time. Like, think about it. How many relationships have been ruined because females thought that their guy should be a certain way? He dresses like this, he wears graphic tees, he should dress like a grown man. Huh?
Like, just just let him wear stuff that makes him feel comfortable. Like,
at that point, it's like, do you love him for him or the person you want him to be?
And it's all about, you know, that whole perfection thing and like image. And I just think it's so hurtful for when you're like forcing your partners to like put on this mask, and it's just not them. It's not authentic. And then it's just so damaging to the relationship, you know? And I want to say that consent isn't about sex all the time. Like, that is a crossover of a boundary.
Mm-hmm. My question has always been, well, did he wear graphic tees when you met him? Did he wear graphic tees? Like, and this is just an example. Like, there are so many, once again, I used to be this chick, right? Like, and I feel like you said it perfectly. We are all very toxic. What changes us is life experiences and growing, right? So me looking back and like, damn, I'm really happy that my husband kind of tolerated me and we learned together and mm-hmm. he showed me like areas in which he's like, okay, this is me. And that's one thing he will always say, hey, this is me. You love me. You love that I love this. Like his love for video games. I never hated the fact that he loved video games. I think I just disliked how often he played them. Like it was like hours. But that's where communication comes in, right? Because I'm just like, hey, I know you love video games, but I like spending time with you. And so he learned how to manage his time. All right, I'll play video games while she's dancing. Or, you know, we have separate time. We have things that we have days we come together and we do things together. Or sometimes he dances with me. He drives. Sometimes I play 2K with him. And I get so fucking mad that he always picked the Bulls because he dunks on me with Jordan. And it makes me so mad. But you know what I'm saying? There's that compromise. And I feel like another thing that I wanted us to talk on is compromise does not always mean it's what you wanted. It is not a compromise if you always get your way.
Mm-hmm. It's like this, you know, equal exchange. And I love, you know, in relationships where, hey, you might have similar, you know, interests. And you also might have your own thing. And so it's awesome, you know, that you have your own thing because it's great to have that time to yourself, because people always need time to themselves. I just think it's a great thing. That's my opinion. But you know, coming together and showing interest into someone else's like thing and engaging with them in there and showing them you care, is just, it's one, like, forming a bond with them, and two, super healthy.
I like that. I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Something that I had a conversation with one of my best female friends. We talk about friendships. So, you're dating someone. He has friends. Do you necessarily believe that you have to be friends with all of his friends?
No.
Do you think that it is a toxic trait that women don't like men being friends with other men or with other women?
No. Like I said, with, you know, him having his own thing, I would love it, you know, if he would be able to go out and hang out with his friends, because obviously he had friends before I met him. And I don't need to micromanage his life. Like I would love for him to have like, you know, his like the life that he had, you know, his normal life, and have his friends and be an autonomous being. And I'm not going to be like, oh, like he's going off and like being unfaithful and blah, 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 and like this and that. Like, it's great that he gets to go off and do his thing. And it's also super healthy for me. Like, I might need time to myself. I might need time to like rest or decompress because I'm like a super, super introvert. and then, of course, like, I have friends from like college, or you know, I might have friends from work that I want to hang out with, and obviously he doesn't know who those people are, and it might make him feel uncomfortable to hang out with them. So it's kind of like that thing where it's like, if I don't know his friends, I'd be open to meeting them and like hanging out with them, but it's like I don't have to be there.
I think one thing that can really be detrimental to a relationship, and this is something I learned from my own personal behavior, is feeling like you always have to be a part of the friend group. You do not. It is better at times that you have, that he has friends that you're not friends with. Now, being married, I feel that it's important that I at least know who his friends are.
Yeah.
He goes off and he's kicking it. I would like to know who you're with. That's just a safety thing. Mm-hmm. And it's something that has been raised in me. I was never allowed to go anywhere without multiple people knowing where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, who I was going to be with, how long I was going to be out. So that's just something me and him do. But it took me until I got older and through therapy to realize a few things. He needs to have friends that I don't fucking hang out with. He needs to have people that he can go and decompress without me. Mm. I have to be adult enough to trust him, to yeah. know that he can go out and have fun and there's nothing happening. Like, and then something that I had to learn is you don't speculate and you don't accuse unless you have reason to.
Don't assume anything.
Exactly. You don't assume unless you know. And when you know, this is something that that blows me, because if it's bad enough for you to continually talk about, especially after you say that you forgave him, there's no reason for you to be in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say he did cheat. Okay. It's been 2 years now. You're still with him. You're like, well, you can't go hang out because remember that time you cheated on me? You have got to stop making him pay for something that you forgave him for. Forgiveness means that it's done. It's over. I forgive you means I know that you fucked up and I'm okay with saying that I forgive you.
Yeah.
If you're at the point now where you're continually punishing him, you're not treating him like an equal mate. You're treating him like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Not a relationship. But back to the friend thing, I have friends, for instance, my friend Ellen, or when you and I go and hang out, my husband's not there.
Yeah.
Like, we're me and you talking about going shopping and after all this pandemic shit is going on. He'll drop me off. He ain't gonna be there. Like, you know?
Like, I've met him. I know him. He's chill.
He's not hanging out with us unless it's like a, hey, Christine, me and Tony are doing something. Would you like to come?
Yeah.
That's different. We're having girl time. When he hangs out with his boys, when his brother comes to town, unless his brother's like, bring Ashley, he's like, oh, I'm going to hang out with Al. I'm like, all right, bye. Because he need time. There's been plenty of times he's went and hung out with his friend Kelly, who's a female, and I wasn't there. Half of the time, because I didn't want to go, because I didn't want to get up. But... that's your friend. I have to show you that I trust you to go and hang out with people. And if you give me a reason not to trust you, I'm not going to browbeat you with it. That's when I say, okay, maybe I need to consider whether or not this is something I want to be a part of anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's when communication is super important.
You should never lose all of your friends because you broke up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's you putting your life into his situation. You didn't bring friends into this? You know, like I never understood that.
Yeah. And this is especially important when you both have mutual friends. Yeah, that was my last relationship.
I think it's a little different when you have mutual friends because you both came into the relationship with mutual friends.
Right.
It's not like you came into the relationship and made friends with all his friends. You know, that's to me, that's a little eh. And you know, it's like, oh, well, he doesn't want to hang out with my friends. Well, then I wouldn't be hanging out with his. But does he not want to hang out with your friends? Or do you not invite your friends?
No, we still hang out. But I haven't, like, I hang out so far, I've hung out separately with these friends. I think we're both to a point where we can hang out, like, in a big group, like, together. He's dating someone else. We've both had enough time to, like, heal from the breakup. We've had a few conversations here and there, but it's not, you know, like one of those things where it's like I'm being super clingy and like he's being super clingy. Like that's not a thing anymore. And occasionally we'll like, you know, send each other a message, like check in on each other, like, hey, you doing okay? And, you know, strangely enough, so we broke up at the beginning of the year of, I forget what year it was, but we broke up at the beginning of the year, and then that summer we were both serving as camp counselors.
Oh no.
And so the camp directors like came up to us like separately, and so they asked me like, hey, is this okay, or do we need to like separate you? Because not only were we camp counselors, we were both like on the worship team, and he
Oh
was the worship leader.
wow.
Very complicated. And so I looked at them and I was just like, hey, I'm over this mostly. And because we had about like 6 months, we had been over it. We had broken up like 6 months. And, you know, 6 months is kind of like sort of the grieving period. And I had been seeing my therapist and we had been working on it. And so I told them, I was just like, I know that we're shorthanded. I know that you need both of us. And I told them, like, hey, I'm chill with it if he's chill with it. And nothing's going to be awkward unless anybody else makes it awkward. And it actually turned out to be okay. And he actually went up to me afterwards and said, like, hey, I appreciate the level of professionalism you showed this week, because if you were a tad bit friendlier, I think I would have lost it. And I was like, oh. So you're right about like all the timing, because some people are just on, you know, different like, shoot, I guess different like levels, along their journey
Yeah.
of healing and everything else. So,
Or just growing.
exactly.
Like that in itself is a level of maturity that you have. And you have your own identity. You are an individual. So that's why I say after every relationship, you should take some time to heal.
Yes,
Because,
yeah.
yeah, people think that, oh, I'm over it. But it takes a lot of energy and time to be committed to a person. You know, like I said, when you are in a committed relationship, when you have sex with somebody, it doesn't matter. You give a piece of yourself to that person. And that's a piece of you that you won't get back.
Yeah.
So you need to heal and replenish that piece of you before you try to go and be with somebody else and you're missing pieces.
Yeah, I actually had one of my guy friends approach me, you know, after camp and for the remainder of that summer. And we had been like hanging out casually. And then, like, one of the nights that we were like having a walk downtown, he just like spilled it all out. He's just like, hey, like I really like you, and he went for it. And so I told him, I was just like, hey, like I am still like working through like the impact of my last relationship. I'm not ready. And then I had to tell him, like, yo, like, I care for you as a friend and you're awesome, but I don't view you that way. And so that was a difficult conversation to have, but we're still friends.
An important thing is that you had that conversation.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes another thing that we do, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. So we don't say what we should say. And in reality, what that does is lead them on.
Yeah.
You need to close that door. If you're not feeling them that way, say that. I don't feel for you that way. Yeah. I'm sorry. And give them time to process that.
Yeah.
You know, don't feel like, then don't be like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm here. We could talk. Like, no, give them a moment to understand that. And if, when they mature and when they grow to that level where they can understand that you did that, so, you know, you're not leading them on, they'll be okay with it. I've had oh my God. So funny story. When I was in a 5-year relationship, like my sophomore year until my first year of college
with a guy.
And I recently just realized that I was not in love with him. Funny story. But there was a girl that I kind of saw when him and I were in breaks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was infatuated with this bitch. Like, oh my God. Like, it was, we had such a connection and it was crazy. Like, we talked all the time. She knew everything about me. She knew everything about him that she probably should not have known. And when we went on breaks, that's where I was. No one ever knew about her. It was just, everybody thought that that was like my friend. She was a friend. But what I appreciated about her the most was that she was always honest with me.
Yeah.
Like, she was the first person whom I explained, like, I can't do fluff. Don't fluff me, you know, like, don't say, oh, well, okay. And yeah, whatever you want. No, talk to me and be honest with me. And she told me flat out. She was like, I want a relationship with you. I can't handle a friendship. And sadly, we never had that type of relationship. Which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because we had such a great chemistry. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment that I learned what it was to be with someone who was honest like that.
Yeah.
You know, she sat me down and it wasn't very dramatic. She was really cool about it. We went to my favorite restaurant at the time and she was just like, look, I want you in this way. We bond. She's like, and every time, you know, we have our little moments and you go back to your life and I go back to mine. She's like, that's hurtful for me. I can't keep doing that. So it inevitably broke up our relationship because after I finally got away from that guy, I wasn't ready to commit to anybody else.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a minute. I just spent 5 years, you know,
yeah,
off and on with a person whom drained me. Mm-hmm. And I basically gave my life to because I thought that I should be dating a guy because, you know, that's what my family wanted and all this other shit, like, you know?
Yeah.
So I completely agree with you there. Like, being able to say, you know, what you need to say at that moment helps people. And her and I, we talk now, like, she checks up on me once a year. Around Christmas, and like, she knows I'm married now and she has a kid or two, and it's kind of awkward sometimes because she's like, say hi to your Auntie Ashley. Christine, did I lose you? Oh, there we go.
I'm coming back. Yeah.
She's like, I'm coming back.
There we go.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. I was like, don't call that kid. Don't tell that kid I'm its aunt. That's so awkward. But, you know, that's the one thing I've always loved and appreciated about her was the fact that when I told her I'm not ready, she's like, Okay. And when I was ready, she had moved on.
Yeah.
And yeah, shortly after that, I met my husband.
Yeah. Like,
you know, things work out the way they work out. But that's something else I find we do is we hold grudges.
Yeah.
That's a really bad scorpion trait. We hold grudges. I can hate a person forever and be okay with it. Like, your rising sign is a Scorpio, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why, so I'm an Aquarius, but, you know, I do have that, like, Scorpio, like, kind of line underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why, like, it's hard for me to let go sometimes. Like, it's difficult. Like, it's one of those things where it takes me a while to forgive somebody. But it's also one of those things where I won't forget it, you know, which is, you know, a healthy thing sometimes. But it's also like one of those things where after I forgive that person, if it's not a healthy, like, I'm not going to forget it, then I start to, like, shut down and shut out that person.
Mm.
So keeping grudges, not good.
It's so, you know how you know it's not good? Because it's so easy to do.
Yes.
That's how you know when something's probably bad for you. When you can do it and not give a fuck, it's not good. I have held so many grudges against so many people for so many years. Like, mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that holding a grudge does nothing against that person, but it hurts me.
Yeah.
And it put a real drain on my relationships afterwards because I held this grudge. And they didn't know each other. Like, there was no way that the relationships were connected. But because I held this grudge against this one person who did this one thing to me, at one point, I built this wall up. And that wall never allowed whomever I was dating at that time to get close to me in that way.
Yeah.
I will never forget what one of my exes, Sean, said to me. It pissed me off at that time, but I understand it now. He broke up with me. He said, I'm breaking up with you because you won't let me get close to you. You won't tell me what's going on with you. He said, I can feel that there's something wrong and you won't communicate. I can't be in a relationship like that. And I hated him for years.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who the fuck you tell me that I have to talk to you about what I'm going through? But when you're in a relationship with someone, they can feel your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if your energy is draining them, bitch, you better talk about what's going on with you.
You energy vampire.
Exactly. You sucker you. Like, we don't realize just how much our personal lives affect other people.
Yeah.
And when he said that to me, Christine, I promise you, I cursed that man. Like, the scorpion in me came out and was like, if you ever see me walking down the street, you better cross the street and act like I'm dead. Like, you know, like,
or just, I will set you on fire.
Literally, cruel shit. Just like, looking at him, I hope your kids turn out to look like toads. Like, just stupid shit. But maturity, right? And growth. It took me to be honest about what I was going through within myself for me to say, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And apologizing to him after maybe like 6 or 7 years, coming back as an adult and saying, hey, he's like, I'm just like, I'm sorry. You know, I was young. I was going through things for sure. And then he asked me to tell him what I was going through. And I was just like, I can't tell you, not because I don't want to, but because family abuse and trauma. I just, you know.
Yeah, it's too close.
Exactly. Like, we were dating. You're not the hubby, though. You know?
Yeah.
And so communication and not holding grudges, because the more that I stayed angry at Sean, the boy I spent 5 years with, the girl that I was secretly in love with, the last girl I was in a relationship with, the more it just put a strain on me and myself and my relationships. When you let that shit go, it's like you feel a certain amount of freedom. Mm-hmm. It even made my marriage better. Who would have thought? Like, broke down that wall, and he's like, I've never seen this side of you. And I'm like, hey, shimmy, she's here. If you were to take one toxic trait that you've become normalized to, like something that you see women do often, and just like toss it in trash because you fucking hate it, what would that trait be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I would really want to take out like the whole standard to be perfect and to force your partner to be perfect, especially outside the home, and then turn around and inside the home just be completely different.
Yes. So like social media relationships versus real relationships.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Because I also want to bring up, like, women can be abusers. Like, people just don't understand. Like, they always view women as, like, the victim. And, like, people just don't naturally, like, go there, I guess, with their minds. But it's like, you don't know what it's like. Because if a woman demands a standard from their partner, and they go outside, that is one, super abusive. And then, you know, they go inside and they could be verbally abusing their partner. They could be hitting their partner. You don't know. Which is why I always say, never assume, ask questions, be observant. Because you can always like pick up stuff outside, you know, as a friend, as a stranger, you know, whatever. But even if it just starts out with, hey, I want you to wear these clothes, your clothes, you know, are not fit for being in public, you know, I want to keep up this image, it can start little and then can escalate quickly.
Yep. Or the, I want to live this lifestyle and you don't fit in that lifestyle. Or my thing is, and I've seen this a lot, women who break down men.
Yes.
Because they feel that that's how they can keep them around. And when the man gets to the point where they're ready to leave, it's the manipulation of, well, I've been through this and you've done this to me and I can't live without you. Women do that shit too.
Oh, yeah.
You're my best friend and you're this and you're that. When in reality, it's abuse. And I'm really happy that you say that, because it's become a quiet joke if a man comes out and says that a woman is abusing him. It's yeah. not funny. And women have just, we have enough evil in us to do it just like any other man do too.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that we always are seen as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is why I wanted to talk about cheating, we lie too.
Oh, yeah.
We lie about a lot of things. This is how come I don't jump to anyone's side on situations until there's significant proof.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole I'm a woman, I'm a victim thing, or, you know, believe me because I am the woman. There's been a lot of women who lied and said that men have done very horrible things to them.
Yeah.
And when it came out that it wasn't true, the man was still treated poorly.
Yeah, because it's like defamation and like the damage has already been done.
And once you have a certain stigma on you, that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Like the abuser stigma, mm-hmm. women claim that men have hit them when they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That stigma doesn't go away. The rape stigma, you know, there are a lot of women who have been sexually assaulted. I'm not going to say that women, that every woman is lying, but there has been women who have lied before. And that rapist stigma does not wash clean.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And just because you say, well, maybe he didn't do it to her, but he's done it to someone else. That's not fair. That's not right. We definitely, women can be abusers too. I think we do it more so than we're willing to admit. He doesn't do what I want. I'm not cooking him dinner today.
Yeah.
You didn't bring me flowers today.
This is so dumb.
The things that we hold value to, right? Is it things that we are taught?
I think so. It's ingrained in society.
Just like the idea that men say, you know, well, that's just what women do. That's toxic. That's toxic. Oh, yeah. Shit, you shouldn't accept that. Difficulty, I would like to say this, and this is the one thing, like I asked you, what's one thing I wish we could throw away? For women, for me, I would say it's difficulty. There is no reason to be so fucking difficult. Like, let's talk about what equality means, right? Because the women's movement, we all claim we want to be seen as equal. And we do unequal shit. You want to be seen as equal, but you expect him to work 10 times harder.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be seen as equal. You want to be able to wear what you want to wear, but he can't wear what he wants to wear.
Yeah.
You want to be seen as equal, and it's okay for you to heal in your pace, but he has to jump on your bandwagon and move at your speed. My husband would get so mad at me because when we first started dating, I would open doors for myself and I would hold the door for him. He's like, fuck what you doing? I'm supposed to hold the door. And I'm just like, oh. Or like we would go out to eat and I'd be pulling out money to pay for the bill. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, paying a bill. Like, what does it matter?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Right. You see this card? Debit. Run this money. Like, but talking about equality, I feel like in a way it was hard for me because I was raised to always do for myself. I opened my doors. I carried my own groceries as much as I could. You know, I did shit for myself. I never expected anyone to do it for me because I was a woman. You know? That's just something now that, like, even now I see men opening their women's car door. He don't open my damn door. Open my own fucking door. It's my door.
I would yell at my friend if he did that. I've hung out with, like, guy friends and a lot of mine who are, like, already married. And the wife is, like, chill. Like, I know the wife. I'm friends with her. And she's, like, chill with, like, two of us hanging out. Like, let me tell you. Super healthy relationship, but he'll like run around and try to open the car door, and it's like a race. And I guess it's like our sort of like game, but then it's also like one of those things where it's like, you know, the whole opening the door to the restaurant. And I've had this conversation with him, so we're good on this. And so I've told him, I'm just like, hey, like, I want to open the door for you too. But, you know, it's a race to do that too. But the thing is, like, usually restaurants have two doors, right? So if he gets to the first door, which he is because people are always taller than I am. So he opens the first door. I get to open the second door. So I caught you.
Right. So we walk in together at the same time. But my thing, my question is, and if your husband or your boyfriend does that for you, open doors, you know, hold things open for you, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's what you guys want to do, that's fine. What do you do for him?
Mm.
How do you make him feel special? Besides sex, what do you do for him? Are you his confidant? Can he talk to you about things that he feel safely?
Yeah.
Do you give him the privacy of not going through his phone?
Yes. And there's just, like, you know, so, like, opening doors and stuff, that's, like, you know, what you can call like a little thing, like the little things. So what are like different little things that you can do for him? And it could be like things that he doesn't think you notice about him. And so when you show up and do that, it means the world to him.
I had a friend or a guy in a poetry group that I'm a part of when I was looking for things to get my husband for his birthday, because he just turned 30. I was like, what do you get a 30-year-old? And he was like, don't focus on the gift. Focus on the moment.
Wow.
He'll love the gift, but he'll cherish that moment forever. So I spent the day doing everything that he wanted. I got up and made him his favorite breakfast that he really didn't eat all of. like the night before, we had seafood, his favorite seafood. We watched movies that he wanted to watch. He played the game with his friends. We went out and did things that he wanted to do. We talked about things that he wanted to talk about. I got him a gift. I got him a pair of gaming headphones. Now, let me tell you how much attention I paid this man. The gaming headphones rumble whenever there's bass. So like it moves on his head, and when he put these on and like all the things, the microphones extend, like the quality is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like he just looks and he's like, I love this. Like he's a gamer. Yeah. So paying attention to the fact that he's a gamer and doing weeks of research, mm-hmm, to figure out what was the best gaming headphones to get this guy with warranty.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Letting him buy him, we share accounts. So he's just like, yeah, I want to buy some things. I'm like, it's your birthday weekend. Buy whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. Don't talk to me about money. It's your week. Do you. Like, even to this day, the other day, he's like, this is the best birthday I've ever had. He's like, I got to just enjoy the things that I like. And I have Rumble headphones. Like, he's like a kid in a candy store when them things rumbled the first time. He was like, oh. Like little things. Or he comes home and I have his favorite food cooked just because. What are we having for dinner? Oh, ribs and mac and cheese. Why? Well, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Things like that. Or, hey, you want to play 2K? Even though I know I'm going to get my ass beat, I sit there and get my ass beat gracefully because babe likes to whoop my ass in 2K. It's the little shit. How do you equate to what he does for you? Does he feel like a king because you demand to feel like a queen?
Mm.
How do you make your house a home? My living room station looks like his gaming station, Christine. It has, you have to come over and see it. It's hilarious. The dining room is a big ass wall decal of a character from that anime he likes. I watched it with him. Attack on Titans. His gaming room has a big ass PlayStation controller decal with the word Jackson over it. And then it has signs like, do not enter, beware, shooting shit. It's like gamer shit. He has another wall decal on the way of a fucking Dragon Ball Z character. And I'm just like, do your thing.
But basically, he's transformed it into his own little man cave.
Yeah, pretty much. Because the back room is my yoga studio. So, which he now infiltrates because he does yoga. So.
Infiltrates.
He does. He infiltrates it. He's just like, hey, I'm here to stretch. I'm like, fuck. But small things, right?
Yeah.
He does yoga with me because he knows I'm on this journey to get healthy. I play games with him and watch Harry Potter and bought all the books because I know he's a Harry Potter junkie. And side note, I was pissed off when I took that fucking sorting house test and I was a Hufflepuff. I guess it's better than a Slytherin.
Nice. Well, I'll let you know that I am a Slytherin.
It's okay. I'm so sorry. I just insulted your house.
Oh, no. It's fine. But all of my friends think it's hilarious. Well, my close friends who know me think it's hilarious. All of the other people are like, what? They were just like, you're either supposed to be in Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff. And I'm like, hey, you can't tell me what I'm supposed to do, so go off.
I appreciate you, because though you are Slytherin, I know you would have not hung out with Draco Malfoy.
Oh.
Exactly. Eat
out.
That's why you're my girl. When I took this test, Christine, and I was like, Gryffindor! Gryffindor! Had the fucking Gryffindor scarf around me, had my book. I was like, yes, I'm with Harry and Armani and fucking Ron, because Ron Weasley was my guy. Like, we're just alike. I'm clumsy too. And then I took it, and it was like calculating. I'm like, yes, the hat. Gryffindor. Say it. It's like Hufflepuff. I'm like, the fuck? I'm like, no. You're kind-hearted. I'm like, fuck a heart. I want to be in Gryffindor.
I hate it when people call me sweetheart. Like, it's just weird. And I'm not a big fan of, like, pet names. Especially when it's like, dude, gross. You don't. What? Gross. Stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, like, earlier you said we're both demis, but I'll make a correction. I'm demi ro ace, so I'm demi romantic asexual.
Gotcha.
So I am not for the romance. I think, like, growing up I didn't understand it, and so now it makes a lot of sense, because I'm just like, well, if it's not the right person, which usually it's not, I'm just like, get that shit away from me.
You're like, be gone, Satan.
So here's the thing with, like, the whole sweetheart thing. I just look at them and I'm like, I ain't sweet and I sure don't got a heart.
Oh no.
Buzz off.
Thank you for clarifying that. I am still learning all of this stuff. I just found out that I am a biromantic demisexual. And I am all about the romance. Like, I am 100% romance. No, I'll say I'm 80% romance, 20% sexual.
Nice.
Like, it's a nice non-balance. Like, I will woo you with words. I love if you woo me with words. I do not like being touched. I think we talked about that. I'm not a big toucher.
Same.
Like,
even if you come into, like, my personal, like, space bubble, I'm a cut a bitch. Like,
it's funny. My sisters have a quiet joke, because I've never been a touchy-feely person. Like, my mom's very touchy, and she would touch me, and I would just look at her like, please stop. Please stop. I don't like this. Leave me alone. Yeah. It wasn't an inappropriate touch. It's just the fact that I am not a big touchy person. So my sisters are like, how are you married and you don't like to be touched? I'm like, we have a balance. Like, there's just times where I'm like, okay, breathe through it. It's okay. And then there's times where I'm like, okay, I want to be a little touchy feely. There's just times when he gets it. He's like, I'm not touching you. You get that look on your face. Yeah. Like, bite my hands off.
One of my friends had said, like, because when I actually had to tell him, like, yo, I'm not really a touchy-feely person. And I definitely have days where, you know, with my chronic illness, if I get touched, like, it hurts like hell. But I was, like, explaining to him, like, yo, I really don't like to be touched, especially when, like, I don't know it's coming, you know? And so he looked at me and he was just like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense now, because, you know, every time, like, we say goodbye, because we don't see each other that often, I always get this vibe that, like, you don't want to hug me, you just let me hug you, because he's a touchy-feely person, and so he's just like, you know what, that makes me, like, super appreciated and, like, cared for, and I'm like, I got you, dude. You're one of the exceptions, but sometimes after, like, I let him hug me, I regret it.
I've gotten my friends used to the whole consent thing.
Yes. Like,
they ask me, hey, can I touch you? Or, hey, can I give you a hug? Even my sisters have done that. Like, hey, is it hug time? And I'm just like, okay. But, like, I've had so many once again, we talked about energy transfers on one of the last podcasts you were on. And I've had a lot of experiences where I've hugged a person and how they were feeling got on me. And I'm just like, please don't touch me. Like, you know, but I've been in relationships with people where I was smitten. You know, I was so into them, like the romance of it. But as soon as they tried to put physical touch or, you know, the sexual aspect into the relationship, it killed it for me. It's like, you know, you're moving too fast. You have to let me get intertwined with your emotional you and, you know, your physical you, and not the physical touch, but like the physicality of you being a person. Like,
yes,
let me love you aesthetically. Like, you know,
yeah,
let me admire those eyes.
Yes. I need time, you know,
right?
Time to like appreciate the art.
Exactly. Don't jump into it just because everybody else is like, I'm like, no, let me write poetry about you first.
Yeah. Like, this is like one of like the misconceptions of like being asexual. Like, everyone thinks it's just like, oh yeah, aces just don't have sex and they hate sex and all of this stuff. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, yes, some aces are like sex repulsive. Some of them just don't give a fuck. And then some of them are sex positive. The basis of being asexual is that like our sexuality is not tied to a person or any people. So yeah, we'll be walking down the street like with our straight friends, and then we'll point out like, yo, that dude's hot. And so like maybe we'll say hot because it's their language, but in our head we're saying like, that person's like very aesthetically beautiful, because we don't tie our sexuality to that person. We're also not blind. So exactly. We see everything different because we see people as beautiful, just as beautiful as things that we see in nature or architecture. And so that's the way we view things, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like we need time to admire things. And if we're with a person, we need time to admire them as like a full like piece of artwork. And like you said, yeah, like, I need time to, like, look at them. If I was a really good, you know, artist as, like, a drawer to draw things, I would do that, but I can't. But you're right, like, we're both poets. Like, I would take the time to, like, write things. And then I would gift that to my partner because, you know, that's just a thing.
It's so funny that you say that, because like I was telling my husband, and I was like, I never knew what the word was, but I knew how I was. Like, I wasn't repulsed by sex, but just the idea of having sex with a person that I wasn't in love with in my mind, body, and soul kind of made me uncomfortable. It's like, I don't want to have sex with you. And then my thinking is, okay, if I am having sex with you, then there's more to our relationship, you know, like we're working towards something bigger than just being around each other and being fuck buddies. Like, there has to be more than this, you know?
Yeah.
So when I actually got to knowing the name of it and kind of learning my identity and being okay with who I was telling my husband, like, people treat us like we're not human.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I see someone, I'm like, oh my God, you're beautiful. And then when I get to know them, I'm like, oh my God, you're beautiful. And then it's like, I have a weakness for poets. Like, my husband's not a poet, but I love female poets. It's a weakness for me. So I had this thing for this chick who was a poet. And it's not because she was physically pretty, like she was aesthetically pretty. Her spirit was very quirky and crazy, but she was a poet. And oh my God, Christine, you talk about weak knees. Oh, like fall over on the floor, like, you know. And it wasn't anything more than the fact that she just made me feel good. And that's my weakness. Like, if a person ever wants me to be like, ugh, write me a poem, and make it be good, because I'm like, ugh. That's just, it's like we look for more, and there has to be more. There can't just be the fact that you're pretty.
Yeah.
There has
I
to be
think,
communication.
yeah, communication, back to the communication. And I know we just went on a huge tangent, but we can tie it back to the whole like women being toxic because, you know, we have these labels and, you know, saying like, I am a woman, this is how I'm supposed to be. And, you know, even having these labels as like, you know, like I'm Demi-Ro Ace. Those labels, while they can be clarifying and super helpful, there's a danger because they are limiting and they can be dehumanizing, especially when it comes to your identity, because you are much more than just being this, you know, sexuality and this. It's just a very small part of you. And if you start focusing on just that label, then it completely destroys and strips down your identity because you are so much more than that. And so going back to like, you know, women and how they view themselves, that can be toxic to them, how they view themselves, because they're just like, this is my role, this is my womanness, and I'm a woman, and this is it. Like, that's all I am. And I'm just like, dude. No.
It's interesting you say that. I'm a part of a demisexual group on Facebook, demisexual support group. And I joined this because I was looking for more information and more people who identify so I could kind of, you know, talk with them. And there was this one woman who asked the question about being in love with two people at one time, that she was married, that she was in love with her best friend. She felt bad because she's like, my husband says it's okay. He's okay with it. But as a demisexual, is like, it's what I'm, it's the fact that I'm feeling guilty normal. Like, it's the fact that I can love two people at one time. You know, she's just trying to figure herself out. The danger in trying to figure yourself out is that you should never ask other people who, one, don't know your situation, and two, you know nothing about them. People don't realize that even in labels, there's a lot, there's spectrums, like they're being a person. There's no one demisexual that, or demiromantic ace, right? Okay, demiromantic ace that fulfills the full qualifications of what Google says a demisexual is supposed to be, right? So exactly, it's huge. It's more than just this word. So this woman was railing on her. No, you're not a demisexual. You can't love to, there's no such thing as polyamorous relationships and demisexuality. I'm like, being a demisexual is how you feel about the people. It's how you get to the point of feeling. It does not mean that you can't have those feelings for more than one people. More than one person. Fucking English today. So like I, that's another thing. It's like, if people don't fit the spectrum that a lot of women feel they should, they get on the attack.
And I'm like, they go straight into like tearing each other down and so nasty, and you see all of these like comments and stuff, and then you see videos of all these like cat fights, and I'm just like, bro, where is this coming from?
Chill.
Oh yeah.
Chill. And I'm just like, well, you're a waste of a tampon. That's really not what the, like, you know, like, that's really not what that means. Like, everyone has their own feelings. I've felt for two people at the same time. Different feelings for different folks, for different strokes, of course. But it's like, you can't tell a person that's not accurate, that they can't feel that way. You don't know. You have no idea why she thinks she's in love with two people. What you can tell her is that, hey, if your man is okay with it, you know, like that's all that really matters is you and him in that relationship, you, him, and whomever you pray to. That's all that it really matters, you know. But I agree with you. We're so ready to tear women down, to tear people down. Even in this, like, I Love Nails group that I was a part of, I had to leave because females are putting up, like, they will try to do their own nails. And girls were like, ooh, take them off. That was like horrible. Ooh, girl, why are you doing that? And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Is it so hard to encourage people?
Because it's
Or
like,
just to
hey, everyone is on a different like point in their journey and on their growth. Like, you were once there. Who are you to be like, oh, you suck, get out?
You may not even be at the point where you're better than that. You have to stop tearing people down because they make you feel better.
Yes.
Christine, we have to do a podcast on what it means to be biromantic demisexual and what it means to be demiromantic asexual. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm going to get this right. I'm learning. It's so much to learn. It's so
after finding out that I was like demiro ace, you know, I went and tried to find, you know, different like accounts on Insta, because that's my main like social that I hang out on. And so I found like a couple of accounts that were so like information, like they had so much information, and not only on like you know, the romantic spectrum and like the ace spectrum, I started like learning about all these different words and all of these different things and about all these different other people. And I was just like, man, I don't know jack. Like, and so now I'm excited, because it's just like, I'm slowly learning. And it's just like, I'm now realizing like, I don't know anything about a good chunk of like the LGBTQ plus community. And so now I'm viewing this as an opportunity to try and get to understand like all of these different, you know, people. Because a lot of like other accounts that I follow, they are now like coming out and identifying as, you know, these different things and taking on these different labels. And then I start realizing like, I don't know anything about that.
Right. I have a question. When you were first searching these accounts on Instagram, did you find a lot of Demi Lovato shit? Because I did, and it annoyed me. I typed in demisexual, and it was like, Demi Lovato, Demi Lovato. I'm like, that's not what I'm asking for.
I actually didn't. I actually had searched for ace accounts. That was before I found out that I was demiro. That was before I knew that was an actual thing. Like, I found out through those accounts. Yeah. And it's great because those accounts are also like sprinkled with like memes. And so it's just like, I didn't know that there was ace humor. Like, I didn't know that this was a thing. And right. I was just like, yo, this is awesome.
Like, hey, I can laugh and feel apart at the same time. All right. So one thing that you took from this podcast before we closed it out.
I think the biggest part that ties everything together and that lays the groundwork for toxicity in women and in everybody is like a lack of communication, and like, instead of communication, just assumption.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I think mine would be kind of piggybacking off yours. The root of toxicity in not just women, but in everyone, but in this episode, we're talking about women. So I'm gonna keep dragging them. Women is lack of self-acknowledgement.
Yes.
We don't admit to our issues. We make excuses for them.
We don't own it.
No, own it. Man, that's a song by Drake. I'm listening to that when I go. Okay. But we need to be more willing to admit and own up to and fix our issues.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting in our the fact that we don't have to jump in and out of relationships, and being okay with being alone until we're better.
Yeah.
I always enjoy talking to you.
Same.
For letting me ramble on about how I hate the shit that I was a couple years ago.
Thank you for letting me, like, talk in circles. My brain is not working today.
But you know what? We're always here. We get it. It's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. All right, at the beginning of this podcast, I played a poem by a Instagram account, Tumi Writes. The name of the poem was Guest. If you are interested in hearing more from Tumi, you can find her on Instagram at, I said I was going to have this right. Yep, Tumi.writes. That's T-U-M-I, the period, writes, W-R-I-T-E-S. She is an impeccable Instagram poet, as you guys heard. And she will be featured on one of our future podcasts. So that'd be really fun. If you guys have any poetry you'd like to be featured on, let's talk about it. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. You can find me at poets, P-O-E-T, May, M-A-I dot J. And it's pronounced May, not my, not me. It's May, J. And if you want to follow Christine, your handle is at Fresh Out of Spoons.
Yep. So it's just Fresh Out of, so O-U-T-T-A, and then Spoons.
Yep. Follow Christine. She posts really good content, and her songs of the day are always slapping. I love your kind of like music love that's like everywhere. Like, you don't just have one specific genre. You like bounce back and forth. And
oh, yeah.
I'm
a bit chaotic.
Hey, it's not chaotic. It's versatile.
It's like what you said earlier. It's like, yeah, it wasn't the day. I wasn't the person I was last night.
I have that a lot when I like have my little ratchet music on. I'm like, whoa, we're not backing that up. Like, we're going to some Sting today. We like rock.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Sting. Sting. I think that's the three things that make my knees weak: R&B, Sting, and poetry.
Yes.
And if you really want to get me, cucumbers with a little bit of salt. All right, Christine, I hope to have you on the podcast. I'm pretty sure we'll be talking to you soon. With hopefully maybe some of your poetry featured in the pod. That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to close this out. I am going to get better at any of these podcasts. I swear. I'm going to get better at it. But for now, have a good night. Thank you guys for listening to us talk about how women are toxic. Yes, sis, we're done for the day dragging you. Until tomorrow. Bye.